Will you please join me in our call to worship found in your bulletin? Have you understood God's thoughts toward us? Have you listened to glad news of deliverance? We are here to receive God's message. Our hearts are open to the world. Listen, all who are near and all who are far away. God is calling us as servants and as saints. Usually we do not think of ourselves in that way. We resist lowly roles, but we do not aspire to sainthood. Do not be afraid to serve God with your whole being. Neither fear the call to join the saints of Jesus Christ. We trust that God will strengthen us for our tasks. We are ready to be led into new responsibilities. Will you please pray with me? God of peace, whose love has graced this planet in Jesus Christ and baptized us with the Holy Spirit, reawaken our eagerness to follow where Jesus leads so we may fulfill the discipleship to which we are called. Lead others to experience your steadfast love and faithfulness and inspire them to delight in doing your will. Amen. Will you please join me as we stand and sing our opening hymn, Christ for the World We Sing, number 568, found in your hymnal. As we remain standing, will you join me with our affirmation of faith found on number 889 in your hymnal? There is one God, and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen. Now, I realize that there is a little crud going around, some sickness, so with caution, I invite you to welcome each other with the passing of the peace.
Peace be with you. Thank you, baby.
Careful, Margaret. I have the power of calling you out from the pulpit. I'm determined to make her my friend. That is going to be a thing. Caroline? Our scripture lesson this morning will be read by Caroline. She will be reading from John, first chapter, verses 29 through 42. Do you want to stand up front or do you want to stand right here?
The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translates means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which means Peter.
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Children can now go with the Hesses for the children's sermon this morning. Just before we get started, I want to thank Caden for all she's done today. Caroline, great job. It's just a pleasure to sit up here and watch everybody in the choir. What a wonderful job being here this morning. About 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I was riding down Interstate 40, headed to Raleigh, and Pastor Ed called. And boy, he sounded bad. He says, Tommy, I don't believe I'm going to make it Sunday. We're going to need help. Well, as I'm riding, I'm thinking about help. I was going to a volleyball tournament, so I called Chuck. Well, Chuck was going to the D-Pack. He was getting in the call. But as we talked, he came up with an idea that worked real well this morning in the early service. But we were so excited. So I really do appreciate it. I had a flashback when I was young, probably about the 7th grade. I could remember our pastor getting sick, and the lay leader had to come up, not knowing before that morning, and he talked about ethics during service and about how don't slam your books and everything. I said, this group don't want to hear that today, so I'm not going to do that. So I'm tickled to death Chuck was able to do what he did, and we're so excited to have him, and I give thanks to Chuck this morning. Thank you.
I'm not sure you're going to be excited. I'm not. But yeah, I was listening to you read, Caroline, and part of that scripture talks about a dove descending. And there's this incredible choral piece by Igor Stravinsky, who wrote some really wild things, but it's called A Dove Descending Breaks the Air. And it is hard to do. It is hard. So hard, I will never ask you to do it, because you will start talking like pirates and mutiny if I do. But it is full of mystery, and it is full of joy, and it is worth listening to. And if you can remember the name, look it up when you get home. A dove descending breaks the air, because it talks about the scripture we just had read to us by, I'm sorry, Caroline, a child. Thank you. Yeah, it was an interesting conversation with Tommy yesterday afternoon. He says, can you preach? And I said, absolutely not. No way that's going to happen. I can't do that. And I told him why. And he says, what can you do? Anything? I can do anything anytime, but I'm not sure that's what you want to hear. But I decided to charge you as a congregation to do your part. And your part is the liturgy. And my choir, you know, I've talked to them about what liturgy means, and they may remember, or they may have been talking to their neighbor when I said it. But I will ask you this. How many people know what liturgy means? Okay, good, because you're all going to know now, and the next time I ask you, you're going to all raise your hand. It is the work of the people. It is what you do every Sunday. When we read the affirmation of faith, when we pray together, when we sing our hymns, we are involved in our work that we're all charged to do. And it is as important as what the pastor does when he brings the sermon. We bring our hearts and we bring the message through the liturgy. So today, what I'm going to do is talk up through some of the liturgy. I'd like for you, if you would kindly, turn to 62 in your hymnal. All creatures of our God and King. St. Francis of Assisi is one of those characters, and he is a character that we hear about in Christianity. He's somebody who was important for many reasons, but one of the great stories from St. Francis is that he came upon a flock of birds. Now, he had already decided that, I tell you, that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Luke, saying that Christ and God was important, and that all within his creation is important and beautiful. Even the rocks that would cry out. And that we are required to preach the gospel, every single one of us, in our own way. And so he spoke to these, he preached, it said, to the flock of birds that he stood amongst, and they let him, and he believed that they were attending. And he ended his message, and as he ended it, they left and flew away. And he believed that what they were going to do is bring the gospel to others, whether they are birds or not. The raiment of birds is not equaled by anything that we can create, so much so that the royal robes in Hawaii are made out of bird feathers, and they are valued because of it, the beauty that comes from the earth. Sing with me the first and second verses of All Creatures of Our God and King. You've got it pulled up there. Turn with me to number 154 in your hymnal. All hail the power of Jesus' name. And from 1 Peter I read, who has gone into the heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Again from 1 Peter. In November of 1799, in a regular magazine called the Gospel Magazine, there was a hymn that was published there. It was anonymously published, and they didn't put the music in there. They, as a matter of fact, when you sang a hymn, they had this big giant hymn book, and somebody would be holding it in front, and everybody would be straining to be able to read the notes, and occasionally read the notes and the words, but most of them were illiterate and could not read the words, but they learned them by rote. And in this case, it was given as an anonymous hymn because the man who wrote it was in disfavor with both the Methodist and the Anglican church over there, and that meant he had no friends, but he had a good hymn. And in this particular case, this hymn was very powerful. It became part of the regular hymnody of England and in America as the Methodists brought it over. But the strongest story that redeems this hymn was from a Reverend E.P. Scott, who was a missionary in the subcontinent of India. And he brought this hymn with him, and he said one day he was going to go into the deepest part of the subcontinent where there are nothing but tribes. And he did this even though everybody said, you will be killed, something terrible will happen to you. But he did it anyway. And sure enough, he got there, and he was surrounded by tribesmen, warriors, all with spears, all pointed at his heart. And he knew that, he figured in the next minute or so he would die. And so he pulled out his trusty violin, which remarkably was in tune. And he started playing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name and singing it. And he closed his eyes and sang from memory and played from memory. And at the end he opened his eyes. And all of the spears had been lowered. And he spent the next 2 years with that tribe, bringing them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he wasn't killed. And it was an important time in missionary life in India. Let us sing, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. The first and second verses only, please.
Jesus' name.
stop for an amen for Janet, everybody. Amen. Amen. Thank you. The next one, well, turn with me if you would, to 377. I'm going to wait till you get there. 377. It's going to get easier after this because all of them are about in the same spot. I've been warned not to talk as much as I did at the first service. I'll cut this short. All right. This is, if I were to guess, this would be the one hymn that more people knew the history of than all of the others. Horatio Spafford was a very successful businessman in the city of Chicago, right up until the moment that the fire took away his heavy real estate holdings. He was devastated financially. He was devastated financially, but he wasn't defeated. And he took about himself, he was a lawyer, so he had a career or something he could make money with. He took about him the 100,000 people that were left homeless. And it wasn't like homeless here, where they could hop a bus or have a Christian help center help them get down to Springfield, Illinois, where things were a lot better, or down to St. Louis, or even across over into Indiana. There was nowhere to go. These people had no home. Well, this was terrible, but it got worse. His 4-year-old son, Horatio Jr., died of scarlet fever that same year. And to try to deal with this devastation and the hard work that he'd been spending in trying to rebuild Chicago, he decided to take a European trip with his family. But his heavy load of work kept him at home while his wife and their 4 daughters went on to Europe. When his wife got to Europe, she cabled him that the ship had been struck by another ship. It sank, and all were lost but her, all the 4 daughters, the son, the real estate holdings, all taken in the same year. Sounds like Job. And he took his ship to be with his wife, even though what it was supposed to be was a great time, as he was going to go meet with D.L. Moody and Ira Stanky, great evangelists of the time, to be heard, to hear them, and to be moved by them. And as he was traveling the Atlantic Ocean, the captain of the ship he was on called him to him and said, "This is where the ship where you lost your children sank." And he was once again heavy with that loss. He went to his room and wrote all of these words of "It Is Well With My Soul." Let us sing the first 2 verses of "It Is Well With My Soul."
It is well, it
in the United Methodist Hymnal. I've been told to get closer. Every hymn in the United Methodist Hymnal, which we mark every week, we look at these and we try to get them to speak to the sermon and to the scripture. We mark UMH, same for United Methodist Hymnal, or the Faith We Sing. We mark them specifically because they have a heritage. Much of this heritage is, as you can see, hundreds of years old. And they all have a reason for being there. They all have a story. This one is the one that probably people know more than any other, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace was written by someone who was a captain of a slave ship. Now, there are many people who have done many terrible things in this world. None probably much worse than what John Newton did. And he felt that sin heavy upon his heart, and he could not relinquish it. And he had to find a way. And in this case, he offered a hymn that not only redeemed him in his eyes, though Christ had already redeemed him, but a hymn that we've carried with us. There are a few people in Christianity that do not know the tune of Amazing Grace. If we could, sing the first and the last verses only of Amazing Grace. Which is seldom, if ever, sung, and it goes like this: the earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, shall be forever mine. That may be the most powerful of all the verses he wrote, and so it shall be with you. If you could kindly turn to 354. 354. This is the Carolina Connection. It is. Now, this hymn was written by Van Deventer. This is a great name. Judson Wheeler Van Deventer. That's quite a name. You ought to be able to do something with a name like that. And he had been using this in revivals at the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, and became quite popular with it. And he taught at the Florida Bible Institute, which is now the Trinity Bible College, in the late 1930s. And he was well-respected in the evangelistic gospel style of preaching. And he used this hymn because it spoke to him, and the words spoke to him. And he took it from Isaiah: "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter, and all we are, the work, is the work of your hand." And so he says, we surrender all. But this spoke to a young evangelist who was just studying and went on to Wheaton College in Illinois, named Billy Graham. And he used it a lot. And personally, I had an experience when I was a young boy of 28, and I was sitting. I'd forgotten to take a step backwards in Orlando, Florida, where Billy Graham was bringing his crusade. And they were trying to get people to put in this mass choir like they always had. And I was, because I failed to step backwards, I was in charge of the Methodist part of that choir in Orlando. And I didn't know what I'd gotten myself into. I did know that when I came to that meeting, I was the youngest one there. And we sat in the front pew at First Baptist of Orlando, which is absolutely huge. And I was sitting there a little bit nervous, and this old man sat down next to me. He was, I think, 73. Doesn't seem that old to me now. He went on to live to be 104, by the way. And I looked at him and I did a double take, because I'd seen his picture before when I was a small boy of 7, and my mama showed me a picture on the front of the music for How Great Thou Art. And the picture was George Beverly Shea. I'm sitting next to George Beverly Shea. And I told him this story. My mom had said, "When you get older, son, I want to sing this song with you. I want to do a duet." And we never got around to that. And I told him that. And he goes, "Oh, that's a shame. And I know your mother must be a good lady." I said, "Yes, she is." And so he got up there and he was getting ready to do some singing. He says, "I'd like to call my friend Chuck up here to sing How Great Thou Art with me. And I want you to know, I even felt younger then." And I got up there, he says, "Yo, you just carry the tenor any way you want, we'll be fine." And I got to sing with him. And maybe in some tiny way, I was moved like Billy Graham was when he heard "I Surrender All." And in the Orlando Crusade, we did sing "I Surrender All" and a million verses of "Just As I Am." "I Surrender All." Sing with me the first and the second verses, please. Howarth Limmel was born in England in 1863, and her father was a Methodist minister. And so she was naturally inclined, because she was Methodist, and I want you all to hear that, inclined to be musical. I'm looking at all of you. Okay? Inclined, we meet at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. Inclined to be musical, so much so that she began studying voice And then they moved to America, and she continued her studies. And then she went to Germany and studied voice there and was quite good. But in time, she married a wealthy European. But he left her when she became blind. And Helen struggled with these multiple heartaches of losing music. There was no place for a blind woman to sing. Hard enough to sing if you're a woman. And the loss of her husband. But she soldiered on. She said she stood still. And she sang in her soul. And a spirit. And she sang a song that she started writing at age 55, when she heard a statement that deeply impressed her. So then, turn your eyes upon him. Look full into his face, and you will find that the things of earth will acquire a strange new dimness. And if that isn't a call to all of us, I don't know what is. It is so easy to get caught up in those things that we can buy and we can call ours. But it means little compared to what we store in our hearts or with our families or with our brothers and sisters in Christ or what we do together in music or other ministries. And she knew this. And in her life, she ended up writing nearly 500 hymns. She got no money. And she lived and died as a pauper, living on other people's grace. But she left a legacy of incredible spiritual richness. Sing with me, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." We're going to sing this twice. And the second time, close your eyes. And in one small way, be blind to this world like Helen Howarth Limmel was. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. All in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I get to lead the benediction, but that's the end of today's sermon. Please forgive me for not having more time to prepare, but I want you to know I had a good time. Thank you for being here.
I'm very grateful to Chuck for teaching us about the heritage of where our hymnals come from. I know growing up with two ministers for parents, the hymnal was a very common book in our house. And at 14, I had the pleasure of representing my district as the youth delegate at annual conference. And because of that, and how outspoken of a child that I was, I was asked to say the closing prayer in front of hundreds of clergy who all knew how to pray very well. And I was terrified. And I talked to my mom and my dad, and I said, what do I do? And they said, when you have no words to convey what you want to say, you sing. And so I did just that, and I combined all of my favorite hymns and took lyrics from each one and created a cohesive prayer out of every one of those. And I didn't tell the 845 service this, but it was 27 hymns combined into one prayer. And the greatest part was they were so common that everyone found a song that they were able to relate to. And that's what prayer's about. So thank you, Chuck, for reminding me of all the hymns that I grew up with, but also to remind us that, as you said in the 845 service, that singing is praising twice. And so as we sing these hymns, let us also remember our center of prayer as we pray for those in our community who are in need of that extra strength. For this week, George, you're first up on that prayer list. If you look at him, you wouldn't think that he's had a week. But we are grateful to have you back, and thanks be to God that all is well and recovery is going great. And wow, just praise be to God. And so we will keep you in our prayers that all stays well and that we are getting to see you every Sunday continued on. We also pray for Marjorie Remmer. I was told this morning from Shirley that she has passed Friday, and her service will be on Tuesday if anybody would like to join their family as they mourn the loss of a wonderful woman. We also keep the family of Lori Wren and Shirley Bradshaw in our thoughts and prayers as they also mourn and show that as a community we are here to offer them comfort and strength. So Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We also continue prayers for Bill Wren, uncle to Robert Wren. He just asks and extends prayers of healing and recovery. So Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We continue prayers for Grady Oakley, Cindy Blanks, Paula Chandler, family of Marvin White, Dr. Steve Saunders, and in addition for this morning, we offer prayers for Liz and Troy Taylor, Joe Jacobs, the family of Maxine Brooks, Nicole Andrews Frick, and it says here that she will be having a heart procedure on Wednesday, so let's keep an extra prayer for her that all goes well in recovery. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. I personally would like to send out a little prayer for our good old preacher man, as he is homesick, and no preacher likes to have to call in sick on Sunday. It's the one day they work. I hope he hears that. But in all honesty, it is a calling and a blessing to be here with all of you every Sunday, and I know that he wouldn't want to miss it unless he was really ill. So let's keep Ed in our prayers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. I also think it's that time where I get to put my little insert of, stay healthy, folks. It is the most stressful time of the year. It is the coldest time of the year. It is snowing and snowed over with ice in Nebraska, so I'm grateful that I'm here. But keep yourselves healthy for yourselves, but also we are in a community that is welcoming a lot of new lives into this church, and we are also taking care of those in our community who are maybe immune compromised right now. So for the sake of our community and for the sake of yourselves, please keep yourselves healthy and do your best. We don't want to add any more concerns to our prayer list if we can help that. So let us pray for those who are ill, those who are fighting, and those who just seem a little under the weather today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And I'd like to try one more thing, and then we can offer it up. But I want everybody to look at the people, two or three people that are around you right now. And I want you to look at their faces, memorize some features. If you don't know their names, ask them their names. You're going to need to know it. And as you pick out those two or three people, I want you this week at some point to pray for them by name. Because if we do that, then we can assure that everyone in this sanctuary and in this community has been prayed for by name. And so this way we can offer our comfort and strength to everyone in this community just by memorizing a couple people around you so everyone can be prayed for. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. So that is your challenge for the week. Are there any other prayers that would like to be offered this week? Bill Dixon, as he goes through cancer treatment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Someone hijacked my pen, so remind me of that later. So I can... You got one? Thanks, man. Anybody else? Okay. Will you please pray with me? Tender and compassionate God, whose strength is made perfect in our weakness, I ask that you enter the lives of each one of us today, refreshing and renewing and healing us with the power of your loving spirit, that we may live with purpose and enthusiasm and courage. Help us believe that you receive us as we are. More than that, help us, imperfect though we are, to be carriers of the message of your love, like earthen vessels that carry treasures, and may we worship you in spirit and in truth. And now, for those prayers by which words cannot convey, we offer those up to you in a moment of silence. Loving God, we take all of our prayers and we combine them into one, praying as you taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Remember all we have spent for nothing in vanity. We now consider how to bring offerings worthy of God's saving grace. Nothing can compare to God's wondrous deeds and thoughts towards us. We can only respond with trust and joy and generosity. Let us give of our offerings so that others may receive. Would our ushers please wait upon us? God of saints in every age and time, we are grateful for the privilege of being numbered among them as we invest our gifts from you. Because of your generosity, we have not lacked for anything we really need. Grant now that our words and deeds may follow our offering into loving service in your realm. Amen. Will you please remain standing as we sing our final hymn, number 344, excuse me, Lord, You Have Come to the Lake Shore.
To 904. 904. I'm going to give you a minute to find that because I have to too. There was an additional tiny little script of parchment that was found as an addenda to confirm the Dead Sea Scrolls. And it said this from Numbers, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And at the end of that is the Amen that I'm going to ask you to do your very best to join the choir with. Amen. Go in peace. Amen.